Share it with some of my teammates as well as the organization and everyone else in Boston. You guys will have me back. I plan on resigning here next year.
Five, the Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Is that audio from before the last time we talked to Danny Ainge or after?
No, that was, we had Danny Ainge on that morning.
Yeah.
So we had been speaking with him, and apparently during that time, Kyrie Irving and I guess the people at the Celtics, Danny Ainge probably the main guy, he had been saying that he intends to resign, and then out of nowhere, he announces it at that fan thing, and that's why the audio is, I mean, there wasn't anyone professionally recording it for such a huge announcement, and this is the first time we've had to talk to him since that happened.
All right, well, Danny Ainge is the president of basketball operations for the Boston Celtics. Thank you for joining us. What should we make of Kyrie's proclamation that he intends on resigning?
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm just kidding.
How are you doing, Brad?
I'm coming right at you, baby. I'm coming at you with a big one.
Good morning, Rich.
Good morning, Danny. How are you doing?
Good.
Is today a good day? Are you excited? Are you going to have some Chipotle for lunch possibly later on?
Yeah. No, today's all days are good days.
Yeah, you're abusing that black card at Chipotle.
No, are you ticked that there's not a Chipotle anywhere near the new workout arena?
Oh, there is.
Yeah, up by Arsenal Mall.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, Arsenal Mall.
Yeah, you know what they have also at that Arsenal Mall? They've got the old scoreboard from the old garden hanging in there. Have you
upstairs.
Walked up and seen it?
No, I have not. They have a lot of construction going on over there. I haven't walked around there.
Yeah, it's in the food court, which is kind of depressing.
Like,
it used to hang over your head for all these like amazing moments, and now it's just like staring at a Sbarro all day.
Right.
Yeah, it's a very... classy place to have the...
It is strange.
Yes, nothing.
If you like Panda Express and you like Celtics nostalgia, then the Arsenal Mall is the place to go.
They obviously know what they're doing.
Yeah, so, okay, well, that was a weird moment. That I guess it was last Thursday. It was the day that we had you on. No one knew this was going to happen, at least, you know, in the public. You guys obviously had talks. What led up to Kyrie making that announcement at the fan day that you guys had?
You know, Kyrie just wanted to make that announcement then. I didn't know he was going to make it then and there. I think it's kind of neat that he did it where he did it with all the fans there on that night. You know, my relationship with Kyrie has been good. Brad's has. We've, from the very beginning, he's been here. Last year, while he was healthy, playing great, when he got hurt, and had to go through the process of getting the hardware out of his knee. I mean, I've never got anything but positive feedback from Kyrie. So the fact that he wanted to announce that and just get it out there was not surprising to us. We felt like we were going to move forward with Kyrie for years to come. We had talked about it a little bit, but I guess that was when he was just ready to tell everybody he wanted to stay.
So was there a conversation before that happened where he specifically told you, I'm going to resign here? Or was that the first time you ever heard him actually say those words?
No, he had told me that. Yeah. He had mentioned it to me. He had mentioned it to Brad. He had mentioned it to Wick. You know, he loved it here and he wanted to stay.
So what happens after that? Like, he says that to you, and obviously he... would give up a lot of money if he signed something now. So this is something he'd probably want to wait till the end of the year. But when you say that, is it kind of, I mean, like, what do you do? What was your conversation after he told you that?
Well, there's nothing we do. We wait till July. We can't have any negotiation or, you know, but I think that we all have a pretty good idea of what the negotiation's going to go like. But, like, you can't have any of those negotiations or do any talking of contractual situations or come to any agreement until July 1st.
Okay, is there what kind of benefit does that have for your team that now other people in the NBA know that Kyrie is going to stay?
Does that make him the ambassador, the recruiter of other players to the team? Is that the responsibility that comes along with it?
you know, I don't know. I mean, that those things are just up to whatever Kyrie wants to do. He doesn't have the responsibility of doing any of that. We're just glad from a planning standpoint that we can plan on having Kyrie. He's 26 years old. He's got a lot of basketball left in him, and we're excited that he wants to be a Boston Celtic.
And then on the heels of that, Danny, there was some reports that you guys have been talking to Terry Rozier about possibly extending him. What kind of conversations have you guys been having in the past couple of weeks?
You know, I don't like to get into public negotiations, but I can just, we have had conversations. I don't know where that's going to end up. But either way, I think that both Terry and I feel great about whichever way Terry chooses to go. And, you know, those negotiations will probably go on until October 15th.
Danny,
hang on real quick. Until the season starts, and then you guys have both kind of made an agreement that when the season's going, neither one is going to discuss this until the season is over.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're in a good place. I think some negotiations are different. We've discussed both the pluses and minuses of the opportunities before him, or the waiting, and very open conversation. Terry and I have a very good relationship, and I think we have a great deal of trust with one another, and we can have real conversations. And there's both benefits and, I mean, on both sides of the negotiation, Terry, and he knows that, and he knows what he's doing, and he's got a good agent, and they're trying to do what's best for Terry.
You have trust. He threw you under the bus when he broadcast you announcing who you were going to be drafting on draft night on the internet. How do you have trust? How is it not broken after that forever?
Yeah, you know, I thought it was pretty funny, but I think that Terry didn't know, but Terry just called. He said he figured he didn't have an answer, so he called me to get the answer. But yeah, we've talked about that. I don't think he'll be doing that on TV live anymore.
Yeah, it was over with. All right, so Gordon Hayward, when you hear Gordon Hayward injured, you obviously don't want to see those words again. But this time, it's his back and not his ankle. Correct. What are you hearing about how he feels and what the outlook is for opening night?
I think the outlook is good for Gordon opening night. He's had two, I think, maybe. Well, this is his two best practices of the year in the last 2 days. So that's very encouraging. You know, I think the thing with Gordon is, you know, we've just got to be all reasonable and understand. Like, I really believe he's going to be better. I think I told you guys last week, he's going to be better in January than he is in October. And we got to be careful with him, because I get when someone hasn't played basketball, it's not just the ankle. The ankle is healed. But when you haven't played basketball for a year at this level, you know, the rest of your body, you're going to have breakdowns. And so I think that's just what happened with the back. It was a minor setback. He missed a few days. But, you know, not being full ready to go in camp, we got to pick our spots with Gordon. Like I said, he looked really good in practice the last 2 days, and that's exciting and encouraging.
Does that mean specific minutes restrictions you guys have mapped out for the first few weeks of the season?
You know, I don't know about any of that. There'll be, you know, like, we'll be cautious with him, but I don't know what that means. I think Gordon will have a lot of say into that, you know, and we'll just the communication with Gordon and our medical staff and training staff and coaching staff, and we'll just take it, you know, week by week. But our expectation is that Gordon is going to play a major role from day one on opening night, and move from there.
All right, Danny. So Marcus Smart, fresh off a contract extension, just got in a little bit of trouble in the preseason. He had a altercation with J.R. Smith. He ended up getting fined $25,000 as he was leaving the court. I believe he flipped the middle finger towards J.R. Smith. Did you have another conversation with Marcus? Is that something that at this point, you as the GM, you still have to reach out and talk to a player when that happens?
Yeah. Marcus and I did have a conversation about that. Marcus also is a very smart kid. He knows what he did wrong, and you know, I think that, that Marcus is just a very passionate, emotional player, as we all know. I think that he's maturing slowly, and, you know, he's been through a tough time. His fuse was probably a little shorter than even it normally is after all that he's been through over the last month and a half, 2 months. But I think Marcus is going to be fine. Everybody on the team loves Marcus. They're, you know, most likely there's probably going to be another one, two, or three of these occasions throughout the course of the year. And, you know, we just know that that's Marcus. And, but we hope that it doesn't, because we need, you know, especially when we come playoff time, we can't afford losing Marcus in big games.
Anytime you scold him about his behavior, does he ever just whip out his phone and pull up a video of you throwing a basketball in someone's face?
Oh yeah, not Marcus specifically, but yeah, I've seen there's been a few of the fights that I was in as a player, and the ball and Mario Elie and all that. Yeah, that's been thrown in my face a few times.
Right, so it's like, maybe, you know, I learned it from watching you, Dad.
Yeah, so, you know, it's just, I get it. You know, I've lived there. I get the emotions of the game, and I get that. And so I was one of those types of players, especially when I was young. So I know that those things happen. Maybe that's why I don't get all excited about it.
Does it concern you that Marcus Smart came to our radio station yesterday wearing a gold boxing robe?
No. Getting back to the my temper and as a player, you know, like when I scored 35 points, I never heard a word from Red Auerbach. But when I got kicked out of a game in an altercation in those days, like Red would come and give me a big hug and go, "That's exactly what our team needs." But you didn't get suspended in those days, so you know, there wasn't a camera around the corner all the time. But nowadays, you can't afford lose your best players from altercations.
All right. Well,
I was already shut down.
All right, Danny. Well, we're looking forward to obviously the start of the season, and I just want real basketball. I just want real basketball to start. Now, granted, the off season has been amazing with all the drama, including the Jimmy Butler deal. And by the way, as Tom Thibodeau reached out to you, maybe trying to get some advice from you.
Have you ever seen anything like that in any practices you've run?
You know, I don't know. I haven't read much about it.
He came in and was bitching and basically yelling at the other players, saying that he was better than them. Then he yelled at the GM.
This is after holding
you guys suck without me. You need me. And then at the end of it, he left before the practice was done. Right.
Yeah.
He was in late, left early, yelled at everybody, including the GM.
And then sat down with ESPN to conduct an interview about it.
Have you seen anything like that before while you were playing or when you were in the office?
No, but that's entertaining, if nothing else. It's,
That
would be an exciting day in Minnesota. I don't know. I mean, those are always hard things to replicate from a media standpoint. It'd be interesting to know what Tibbs is side in, and I'll have to give Tibbs a call and find the real story.
He's kind of weird, huh? That Thibodeau guy.
No, he's not weird.
Seems like
I like Tibbs. He was great to work with. I love my basketball conversations with him, and he's a great worker. He's a smart basketball coach.
I don't deny any of that.
But outside of basketball, from everything we hear, he truly, his life is basketball, and I've heard the only thing that he does outside of that is collect stamps. Is that true?
I don't know about the stamps. I know that he spent hours in the night in his office, and I used to encourage him all the time, like, you've got to get a life, man. You've got to find something.
What's he hiding from Danny?
I don't know, but he definitely spends a lot of time in the video room.
He's hiding from something, if you ask me. He's got some deep, deep, deep issues that he's trying to run away
from. I think you guys should have him on your show and talk to him about that.
Or maybe I could just have a robot on. Do the same thing.
A robot with his voice missing.
Yes, indeed. So, hey there, what do you think of the Red Sox? All right. Danny Ainge, thank you so much for your time, sir. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. And
all right, guys.
Here's a good week of preparation, and we look forward to talking to you next week.
All right.
All right, I appreciate it. There you go. Later.
So, apparently these extension talks are happening with Rozier. And once again, if I'm Rozier, why would I sign anything? I want him to stay here, but why would you do that?
I wouldn't. But Danny Ainge did seem, he didn't shoot down the Kyrie Irving stuff.
Nope.
I mean, he certainly lended credence to what Kyrie Irving had to say, and he didn't have to do that. 9:30 this morning. By the way, I was reading something in ESPN that said that the Celtics didn't have an A-plus star. That the advantage that... Toronto got Kawhi Leonard, right?
The
advantage Toronto has is that you have to say that they have a second tier star and a first tier star.
Lowry and DeRozan.
No, Lowry and Leonard.
Leonard, sorry, yes.
And DeRozan went to see. And so does that equal having three second tier stars?
Three A minuses?
Three A minuses,
not first is that tier, better than an A-plus plus and a B?
Yes, okay. Exactly.
Well, there's an argument to be made about Kyrie Irving as to whether or not he's an A-plus star. I mean, Kyrie Irving is arguably one of the better clutch players. I mean, you saw what he did on that championship run. So,
and now there's an argument increased to be made. Role. I mean, his role was decreased because he was playing alongside LeBron James. This is his team. Yeah. He's going to have the ball more than anybody else when he's on the floor. And I think we'll finally, because hopefully he doesn't have a relapse or an injury, this is the first year that we'll all see what he does when it's his team.
It was interesting. It was on ESPN.com, and it kind of put teams in different tiers of, you know, Golden State's the best, and then it was Boston and Houston, and then there was like four other teams behind that. But in the math of Toronto was, does an A-minus and an A equal... 3 A-minus.
Oh, if Kawhi is healthy, Toronto's going to be a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
They're going to be tough.
That was the argument. Coming up, we got tickets to see the Patriots-Chiefs Sunday night. That's coming up at 9:30.
Stay tuned for Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
98.5 the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich mere moments away from getting tickets or giving away tickets to see the Patriots-Chiefs Sunday night. Johnny Wall game has he's come across some hypothetical trades that they're saying could work.
There's one that's NFL. Kind of interesting that of all of them.
Yeah, ESPN has an article this morning, 11 sensible midseason NFL trade ideas and why they make sense. The NFL's trade deadline is October 30th. For instance, Miami trading Devontae Parker to Dallas for a sixth-round pick. Buffalo trading LeSean McCoy back to Philadelphia, who now needs a running back after the injury to Jay Ajayi. Le'Veon Bell from Pittsburgh to Washington. Redskins actually lead the NFC East at the moment at 2-2. And
wait, what was the Le'Veon Bell?
To Washington.
No, if you're Washington, why am I doing that under any circumstances?
Because you have an opportunity to actually win the division while Philadelphia is not performing well. You're actually ahead in the division right now.
They also need an injection of something to get those fans excited. They are not selling out that place.
And that's also part of the ESPN argument.
Well, good. You can bring in a malcontent that's going to leave at the end of the year.
Detroit trading Golden State to Tennessee for a fourth-round pick.
Or the entire Golden State team.
Wait. Now, why would Detroit trade Golden State?
Golden Tate.
Golden State. But Detroit just beat Green Bay.
Detroit, it says here, Bob Quinn and Titans GM John Robinson worked together in New England. Titans are thin at wide receiver. They could use another receiver to help out because you have Galladay and Marvin Jones to still catch passes from Stafford.
So they're going to punt the season to get a fourth round pick
and wide receiver Tajay Sharp. They would be the third receiver for Detroit after that trade. Another deal, Cleveland trading Tyrod Taylor.
That whole division is 2-3, 2-2. Chicago's 3-1. And if you think Trubisky's going to have games like he did the other day, then you're mistaken.
However, but that's another team that you can rely on their defense.
But there is one tie-in to the Patriots, and it's an interesting idea. I don't know if the Patriots necessarily do it. ESPN has an interesting trade of Cleveland shipping Jamie Collins back to the Patriots for a seventh-round pick. Cleveland is trying to figure out a way to get rid of Jamie Collins. They have two linebackers, Joe Schobert and Christian Kirksey, are emerging as every-down linebackers. And when the two of them are healthy, Collins is usually the guy coming off the field when the Browns go into their sub-packages. So he's on his way out in Cleveland, and he has a contract that's very easy to get out from under after this season is over.
Okay, two things about Jamie Collins. Number one, I watched all of Hard Knocks, and I've watched more Cleveland Browns football this year than I ever thought I would ever watch. And I can't remember his name being called more than once. Like, I mean, he's been a ghost on that team.
No, he's been a horrific player for them this year. They can't trust him with much of anything.
On top of that, doesn't Belichick hate him?
Yeah, that was the thing when he got traded, he was freelancing on defense, which is an absolute no-no.
But he is legitimately talented as far as being an athlete.
And there's no learning curve if you bring him in.
Well, also, you know, sometimes a little humility is all it takes for you to be able to
accept. Work in Cleveland.
Well, I mean, it's Cleveland. I mean, because, you know, it's a losing organization. And then, you know, to come back and be able to, you know, it's like the don't know what you got till it's gone. Maybe he'll be able to go back and say, all right, I get it. I'll listen to what you have to say.
I think Cleveland's a pretty good place to be right now.
It's not a bad place to be.
No, because every time that, I mean, much.
Well, not against, if you're not playing. If you're not playing, it's not a good place to
be. Right, but I'm saying if you're not playing in Cleveland, I don't know why you would necessarily come back here and all of a sudden start taking over. The other part of the deal that is a big problem, if the two sides were ever to work at this, is that the Patriots are right up against the cap for the first time in a while. They only have about $1.5 million of space. And Collins comes with a price tag of a lot more than that. And so
what's the deal? Like, how much would it cost the Patriots?
Well, before we get into all that, caller number 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985, will score a pair of tickets to see the Patriots battle the undefeated Kansas City Chiefs this Sunday night at Gillette Stadium. And one other thing, there's no one who's out of it in the NFC. There's no one. Arizona, maybe. San Francisco, maybe. But Atlanta at 1-4 aren't out of it. I mean, the NFC... not very good record-wise. So if I'm an NFC team, other than Arizona or San Francisco, I'm not making a major move with any of my big pieces. Right now, certainly not. I mean, the best record in the East is 2-2. Outside of Chicago, there's 2-2-1. Outside of the Saints, Carolina's 3-1. Tampa Bay's 2-2. The Rams, obviously, are excellent. Seattle's 2-3. I mean, that wild card's wide open.
So you asked how Cleveland would make this contract doable for the Patriots to absorb it. He has $7.5 million in prorated base salary remaining for this year. And the theory is here you convert a lot of it into a signing bonus to spread it out and maybe make it so that the Patriots, if they can create a little bit more room under the cap, could fit him in. Now, I don't know if you can do that or not. I mean, $1.5 million up against the cap, that's no wiggle room at all. So I don't know how you would make it happen, but it would be interesting, to say the least, if Collins came back here to help.
Seems like a lot of hassle to bring in Jamie Collins. But you know what? Why not? Why not? You brought in Josh Gordon, and now he's the belle of the ball. So maybe you bring in Jamie Collins and... he gets back to the Patriots, who he loathed and freestyled on.
Didn't pay attention to.
Right. And then you know that he's going to make a lot less money next year, right. And he's really going to go balls out. All right. We'll be back, Rich, with the stack. What are some things that we will discuss?
We got some more news about that Jimmy Butler situation. On top of that, Lenny Dykstra's in trouble.
Yeah. If I had a death pool, I got Dykstra right up there. And I'm thinking days. I'm not thinking months.
Well, don't they keep an eye on you in prison?
Yeah, but is he in it right now, or is he just
got indicted in New Jersey. He's not behind bars. He's awaiting trial.
Yeah, when you find out what he was in trouble for, Fred, I have to agree with you.
Yeah, that's I got him way over Sheen. Here are the headlines.
The games are only half of it. Thatcher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. The stack is brought to you by Harvard Pilgrim Healthcare. Rich, what have we not gotten to today?
This is the story that we all knew was coming. So, as we know, Jimmy Butler yesterday showed up late for his first practice since he's been holding out. The last 3 weeks. He's been essentially demanding a trade to get out of Minnesota. And apparently Tom Thibodeau wants him to stay, yet management says we want him the hell out of here. And because they know that he wants out, no one's willing to give up really anything of value in order to get him. So he shows up, ends up doing a scrimmage with the people on the third team, starts yelling at Karl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins, starts embarrassing them, and then at the end of it starts screaming at the general manager, this team can't win blank without me. And then all of a sudden, 30 minutes later, ESPN happens to be there to do an interview with him. Now, according to Rachel Nichols, she had been called the night before by Jimmy Butler, and he said, I'm ready to talk. They flew out early that morning, and of course, he staged that entire thing for it to happen. But now we know the real reason why he's acting the way he is, according to a writer for the Star Tribune in Chicago, and that reason is Mark Wahlberg. I'll read from the article. This is the Bleacher Report reporting on this. They said, report, Bulls insider says Jimmy Butler changed due to Mark Wahlberg friendship. Disgruntled Minnesota Timberwolves star Jimmy Butler is close friends with Hollywood actor Mark Wahlberg, and at least one person
so
believes
lucky.
The relationship has altered Butler's attitude. According to Patrick Roos of the Star Tribune, an anonymous Chicago media source said Butler began seeing himself as a star once he started to hang out with Marky Mark. The report added, quote, the feeling in Chicago is that Butler's game stopped growing 3-4 years ago as his head grew ever larger. Per the writer, the friendship between Butler and Wahlberg began in 2013 when Wahlberg was filming Transformers in Chicago. Wahlberg played some pickup basketball at the Bulls practice facility.
Probably dominated, was dunking.
Well, of course. And he began spending time with Butler from there. And that is when he says, that is when Jimmy Butler became all Hollywood and started getting a big head. So you can blame all the situations that are happening right now. You know, Dom Thibodeau, call your man Wahlberg. Make him talk Jimmy off the ledge.
Well, you got to, I mean, you only have those little windows where you can talk to him because he ain't pumping iron or being at church or
waking up at 2 a.m., part of the 2 a.m. workout club. By the way, Mark Wahlberg in town right now. So if he's listening to the show, which we know he's obviously a huge Patriots fan because he left the Super Bowl before it was
over. He also participated in our 10th anniversary saying how much he loved the show that I'm sure he's
that's right. He did end up doing that. So if you want to set this straight, Marky Mark, if you're not in the middle of your second workout of the day with kettlebells.
Oh, this is golf time, though, isn't it? Are we in the middle of golf time?
See, it's filming. It's different. He's filming.
Oh,
Remember that? Remember the thing they were doing, the casting call for, like, tough guys?
Yeah.
That's what they're filming
Spencer
right now.
Spencer for Hire movie,
which
yes.
I think they're filming it, like, right here.
Really?
There's something filming right here.
Right over there?
It might be Smilf that they're filming, because I know
right
that's here as
dot.
Well.
Right here in the dot?
Yeah, right here in the dot. I know Smilf has been filming, like, right down the road as well.
That's just something that seemed to have really taken off.
I think it did okay. I watched the first episode, and I was like, okay, this is... And then all of a sudden, Rosie O'Donnell showed up, and I go, I'm out. Yeah. No, thank you. Yeah. Rosie O'Donnell is the tough-talking Southie mom, which, of course, isn't grating in the least.
Kings Park, Long Island.
So Lenny Dykstra, who one time at 2:30 in the morning right here in this very radio station when Charlie Sheen came by, Charlie started going just through his phone, and we started calling random celebrities, and Lenny Dykstra actually answered. And what was Lenny Dykstra doing at the time, Fred?
He was going through his house, getting copper tubing and wiring. And
right, stealing fixtures from his home.
So he could sell the said copper.
No, he was in a guest house, wasn't he?
Yeah, where he
wherever
was doing
he was.
Somebody
he was...
else's home he was stealing from is my point.
Okay, wherever he was, I think the main point is he was taking copper out of it.
Well, Dykstra's having a bad time. He was indicted Wednesday on charges of cocaine possession, meth possession, and making terroristic threats dating back to an incident with an Uber driver back in May. He could get 3 to 5 years on each charge.
So isn't just meth for people who can't afford coke? Like, I don't know much. I've done neither drug. They're both stimulants. I would assume that if you were wealthy enough to have cocaine, that you would not be interested in the meth.
I just always thought meth was the poorest of drugs.
Yeah,
like,
that's what I'm saying.
Is that
if you got cocaine, what are you doing with that meth?
Well, Dykstra was arrested in May after allegedly threatening an Uber driver with a gun. According to the police report, Dykstra requested an early morning Uber ride from Linden, New Jersey, and once in the car, he changed his destination to Staten Island. So the driver said Dykstra would have to change it in the app in order to be driven there. And apparently that's when Dykstra went nuts. Quote, Dykstra then placed a black pill bag with an object the driver believed to be a gun to his head and said, take me to Staten Island or I'll blow your blanking head off, according to the police report.
Imagine having a pill bag.
Just like, a bag to just keep around?
Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, at least get one of those, like, cool plastic things. It's got the Monday, Wednesday, Tuesday,
sure.
Thursday, Friday.
I'm told that Sickly Nicholas has got a pill bag.
He has to. I mean, he had a purse that kept him alive for a while.
I don't know if he has to.
Well, maybe not.
All right, Danielle?
He left some of them here yesterday. It says Wednesday, a.m. and p.m. And the one for, we better check on Nick because these were not taken.
That's right. We haven't heard from him for a while.
Nick's just leaving his drugs around.
Why not?
Are they painkillers or what do we got there?
I don't know. It's just
I don't think it's right to talk about what they are, to be quite honest.
You don't have to say it on the air. Okay, I'm saying, are they painkillers? I mean, you don't have to be specific. Just you Google what's on them.
Okay.
Maybe it's a party after the show.
Maybe we have some fun. Well, the driver drove Dykstra to the Linden police station and ran screaming for help. Dykstra told the officers that he was kidnapped and allowed Peach to the police to search him. So Dykstra was the one who said he was kidnapped. Though he recanted his permission for them to search him, the police determined probable cause and found what they believed to be marijuana, a glass pipe, a straw with suspected cocaine residue, and a vial of suspected cocaine and two pills thought to be MDMA.
Hell yeah.
Mm-hmm. So Dykstra had denied the driver's side of the story from the beginning, including a police body cam video that was obtained by TMZ. He told the police the driver was going to kill him and that the driver drove 100 miles per hour to get to the station. And multiple times he said he didn't have a firearm. Now, who are you going to believe in this situation? The Uber driver or the guy that you just pulled over and found a glass pipe, a straw filled with cocaine, and two pills thought to be MDMA? Oh, and it's Lenny Dykstra.
See, I wonder with the without the vial and the ecstasy, if you could somehow, because just having the paraphernalia, what can they pop you on? But he did have the, you're saying he did have substances on him.
Yes, they said that it had cocaine residue, a vial of suspected cocaine. So it had a vial with actual cocaine in it, or suspected, and two MDMA pills. So he held a news conference, Dykstra did, with his attorneys after the arrest to tell his side
Everyone
of the story.
Was there.
Where? Where was this press conference?
In front of a wall.
Yeah. In a subway where he was having lunch.
My God. Right. He was just in a random Papagino's trying to get a quarterback from the Pac-Man machine. So he was claiming that the driver kidnapped him, and he filed a countersuit against the driver. His camp still seems to be sticking to his side of events, even though Dykstra's attorney said to TMZ Sports, quote, a grand jury will indict a ham sandwich. The evidence in this case is overwhelmingly confirms Lenny is innocent. I don't know what the ham sandwich has to do with anything, but it made me hungry.
Well, if he is innocent, I look for him to die even sooner.
Well, oh, yeah, because you said that he's pretty high up on the death pool.
If you were just asking,
that's true. If you let him go, I mean, he's rolling downhill. I mean, if you put him in jail, that at least stops it for a while.
All I know is Kramer on the CNBC, the Mad Money.
Yeah.
Okay. Would have Dykstra on, Tim Kramer would have him on regularly and say what a financial genius he was.
Well, he was
and here
rolling.
Is Kramer. Here is Kramer still with that job. And he's made, he was telling people to invest right before in crap that crashed.
Fannie Mae and stuff like that. Yeah. Right before the huge housing crash. Well, you know what? If you are a middle of the road, like, I don't mean middle of the road, but like if you are a middle cost beer, like right in the center, it's probably a tough place to be, because like the craft beers, the ones that are kind of like, you know, there's people who will pay a premium price for that. But then if you're like the really cheap beer, you have this niche market that is just taken off, because you can market yourself ironically the way Pabst Blue Ribbon has done a massive, amazing job. Whoever they brought in for their sales department and marketing has been brilliant, because they've made t-shirts, they've made skateboards, they've made a whole industry out of just the marketing of the cheapest beer out there.
Right.
That's why Natural Light said, hey, why don't we try that? Natty Light has now released the 77 pack. Yes, that's 77 beers in one package. It weighs 65 pounds and is basically going to be something that if you're at a party and someone's like, dude, we got the Natty Light 77 pack, it is going to be a sales boom, I guarantee you.
We got a pallet of Busch Light at our fraternity. So a truck, not quite like a full-on semi.
Yeah.
Probably half a semi. Pulled up, took a forklift, took the pallet out. It was 100 cases.
Okay, 100 cases of beer. How much did that cost you? Do you remember?
I don't remember much from that time.
Yeah.
Do I remember how much it cost? No, because there was like 50 of us and we all went in on it. A lot.
It doesn't say how much it is here, but how much do you think a 77-pack of Natty Light is?
$100.
Yeah. Because I remember when I got that 30-rack of Narragansett, I think it was like $28. It was like less than a dollar.
Because 100's easy, $99, whatever, get 77 beers.
You're probably right. It's probably $99.99. That's what they're going to be selling.
$99.99.
And it's huge, man. It's like massive.
Yeah, I mean, you need help getting it out. Yeah, it's like a pony keg or something. All right.